I'm so excited. I have Catherine Hahn is online with us from Los Angeles in a parked car. Let's find out why right now. She is the star of a new show, by the way, on Showtime called Happiness with Steve Coogan. It's a great show. If you haven't seen it, you've got to see it. It's the best. And Catherine, are you there?
Yes, I am. Hi.
How are you?
Good.
Can you do that crazy? Can you beat your car wheel and top of it and dashboard and do that crazy scream you did in that last?
I did. But maybe I just did. I don't know.
Yeah.
I have two little kids, and it's a Saturday morning. And I just figured if you wanted to have not a lot of screaming children as ambient noise, maybe mommy took a drive.
Oh, so you're sitting in the car. Is it in your driveway, or is it where did you?
No, I'm down the street. I went down the street to. We have a little farmer's market. So I picked up some stuff, and then I just kind of pulled over.
That's awfully sweet of you.
So bizarre.
Thank you so much.
Of course.
I love happiness. Don't you love happiness?
I do love happiness.
Yeah.
Are you talking about happiness just as a concept or happy-ish the show?
No, the concept, I never talk about the concept. It doesn't work for me.
Happiness. Well, the show is happy-ish.
Happy-ish.
Yes, I do love it. I love it so much. I love Shalom Auslander, our writer. I just think she's got such a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful messed up brain.
Yeah,
that man.
Amazing.
Yeah,
and I love the unexpected things, like the show the other week where everyone, you and Steve Coogan as a couple, hated everyone who read the New York Times in New York.
Yes,
I thought that was unexpected. I think all these people are sitting here reading the New York Times. Why?
I know. It's kind of a gorgeous shot of everybody on that train.
Yeah.
Reading the paper, except for I know. It's beautiful. They're like little short stories, these episodes, I think.
Yeah.
And they get like richer and deeper as the show. As the season goes on. Yeah, I could not be prouder.
Yeah.
I really couldn't.
And what's good about it is so much of it is you.
Now,
I mean, because we always get to see you as a person who comes in and does something really weird in a movie. But, you know. Like these strange moments that no one else could pull off, and you pull them off, and they're wonderful, and they're amazing, and I can't believe they both had their hands inside of her trying to deliver her baby in an organic food store. You know, that's a little unusual. Right? I mean.
That is a very interesting story.
Yeah.
Image to probably imagine. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I know. It's been an awesome couple of years in that department, just in terms of like, being asked to play and get into these like very just surreal, real, very just like human behavior, like smaller work, which has been really, really, really satisfying and. Yeah, I mean, Lee Payne is just the best, the part I play on Happy-ish. I just think she's just so rad, and
she's
I just
cool.
wish I had a little bit more of Lee in me, in my sometime I'm learning a ton. I mean, she just is like says her truth, and it's so hard to do that.
Well, she's a little like, she's a painter, too, and you're a painter, are you not?
I mean, I have dabbled with paint, yes. I would not consider myself a painter in any way. But I do love it. We had our couch downstairs in our living room for a while. We just got rid of it because we felt it was time. But we basically let them. We covered it with canvas and let them like graffiti it. It was very cool, actually.
Very cool. Good
kind
idea.
Kind of awesome. Yeah,
and
very, very fun.
You know what? When I say this is about you, I really like it because we knew from all these incidents and all these movies where you were this guy, you know, kind of stole the movie. But it was totally bizarre. Usually, we knew there was a lot more to you, you know, and this in Happy-ish, we get to see that as we did in the movie with the sex worker. That was good too.
Oh, Afternoon Delight. Yeah,
yeah.
That was my first collaboration with Jill Soloway, who's pretty.
Yeah.
A force of nature. Yes, and she's awesome. That was kind of a turning point for me for sure.
Yeah.
Was that movie? Yeah, I know. I don't know what it is about me that I've kind of have been. Typecast in these kind of like unhinged for a very long time.
Yeah.
He's like, I don't know. I went to school. I was like, I wanted to be like a serious theater actress.
Yeah.
You know, that's still like my, and I think I was always kind of probably the class clown, though, to be frank.
Yeah. And you were a stage actor. And mm-hmm. Was that at Northwestern where you started?
Northwestern. And then I went to grad school at Yale. And then so there was just, it was just the best. Yeah, it was just kind of like a rigorous monastic 3 years where I just did nothing. We didn't, rehearsed Hamlet at 2 a.m. and I didn't have a television and I was the best. It was the greatest. And I knew that it wasn't going to necessarily like help my career, you know, career per se. I was kind of taking myself out of the game at like an ingenue period, and I knew, but I also knew that I just didn't want to be, you know, I just very naively probably just took on a ton of student loans and just was like, let me just have this 3 years to just do the work and the roles that I would love to, and just jump into to everything and just have faith that it will, you know, that it will all work out. But
like you just want you want to be a complex character once in a while.
Oh my gosh! Well, yeah. I mean, yeah. I would hope too that every, you know, I never anticipated kind of like working in that big studio comedy world at all. But I really did find myself. You know, it all comes from the same place, I guess. You have to root it in some, you know, you can tell when something's real surfacey and when something's kind of rooted to just like a need. And I think that's always so much more interesting.
Yeah.
Even in those comedies.
Yeah. I got to ask you though, are you actually Jewish, or do you play Jewish?
No. I've always been playing Jewish, which I love. I'm married to a Jew for a very, very long time, but I myself.
So you paid your dues, but not your Jews. So
I like favorite Jews too, guys. I've been married. Yeah, my husband and I have been together we've been married 12 years. Yeah. Together like 22. And I was brought up Roman Catholic. I went to Catholic school like all through high school. And, this has been, and I'm kind of like a recovering Catholic, if you know what I'm saying. But I've learned so much through this process of Transparent. That was a show in which I play a rabbi. Mm-hmm. And then also, Happy-ish. Yeah, no, it's been awesome. My first movie, I played a character named Michelle Rubin, which I should have known, was leading. I could not be more flattered. And I've been talking with this, and there's this amazing lady rabbi out here named Susan Goldberg, who's just been extraordinary to talk with, and she's been really patient. And it's awesome. I couldn't have anticipated it, but I really do.
Yeah. By the way, with Jane Lynch as your psychiatrist was like the best thing ever.
Oh, forget it. Awesome.
The interactions there were absolutely amazing. Perfect.
She's the most she's the most like self-involved therapist. I love that part so much. She had low blood sugar. I love that the therapist just had to like open up her quinoa to start eating during our session.
She brought
from
home.
I can't handle this. That she brought from home.
Yeah. And she kept talking about her problems instead of yours.
Her perimenopausal low blood sugar.
And her relationship problems.
Now, it's good when you got to take care of your therapist.
Yeah, that's a bad thing. I have a little clip here from Happy-ish, if you don't mind. Would you mind? It's a couple minutes.
No, but please.
You know what? Because I just think
I love listening to the sound of my own voice.
Yeah. Well, there's not much of it. You know what this is? I think it's like the most difficult comedy thing I can imagine. It's that scene what's your character's name?
Lee.
Lee finally gets a chance to paint. They're in upstate New York, and she gets a barn that she can paint in.
Uh-huh.
And she's totally frustrated that she hasn't been able to, and finally gets it, and she's gleeful. And the guy who owns the barn comes in and starts interrupting her, first of all, and then talking. It puts her in a situation which is unbelievable, and it's all about your reactions to
okay,
him.
Good.
Okay, do we have that?
Are you from New York?
Long Island, Jewish, self-loving, Holocaust. Theological ambivalence, disappointment to my mother, the whole shebang. Walter, I think I only have a couple more hours, so I think I'm just gonna get back to work. But thank you so much for stopping.
I lost most of my family in the camps.
Oh my gosh. I'm so sorry. I didn't mean to.
The death camps.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. In Poland. Oh.
Yeah, of course.
Well, who didn't back then, huh?
Oh, yeah.
Life goes on.
Life goes on. Life goes on. Ah.
Not for my parents, though.
No.
My mother died in Auschwitz in the gas chambers.
Uh-huh.
My father didn't, though.
No?
No, no. The typhoid. Bergen-Belsen.
Oh, right. Oh,
my sister, I mean, my oldest sister, Ruth, she was in the resistance.
Oh, wow. Good for her. Good for her.
Not for long, though.
No?
The Nazis found them about a week after she joined.
I see.
Shot her in the back of the head.
Ruth.
Point blank.
Yeah, sure. Oof. Wow.
My younger sister, Tamar, she survived Treblinka.
She did?
Of course, the liberators gave them all food. And she ate too quickly.
Uh-oh.
Died 2 days later.
Mm.
Diarrhea.
I'll do her.
Terrible medico. I knew others. Mm.
And that was you later in the car. That's what I'm trying to get you to do up there on the street, Bonnie.
Good.
We had to transpose the her expletive at the height of that, which is the best use of that word I've ever heard, by the way. But I said, can you make it, you know, sound like, run it backwards, like cuff, you know. Because it's public radio, you know. But that what an amazing scene. How hard was that?
I mean, well, we shot in Woodstock, in beautiful Woodstock, and probably, apparently, it was the coldest winter in 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
So the memory of that scene for me is basically having my sweet makeup artist come up and try to touch up around my nose and me just saying, like, honey, you know you've just smeared mucus all over my face. Like, we were so cold, so freezing in this barn. It was hilarious. And the gentleman who plays the old man is so good, so good.
Who is that, dude?
Donald Margulies, and he was in Ghostbusters. He was the mayor in the original Ghostbusters.
Oh, no kidding.
I mean, among so many other things.
Yeah.
He was just a brilliant, brilliant, brilliant actor, and we shot that at like 2 in the morning. He's so game, too.
He was so perfect in this.
So perfect. And also because we kept, I mean, it was so, when we had the first read-through for that, and we were all, you know, I mean, there's so much of this script that you're like, oh, you read it, and it's like cringe worthy because it's a pretty really intense and dark scene, like what he's what they're talking
about.
It's
an impossible situation in terms of reaction.
It's an impossible situation because she's like, I mean, it's horrible what he's describing. It's absolutely horrible. And then this is it's her literally her 2 hours to be able to, she's trying to reconcile. Like,
And plus it goes
it's
on.
So good.
We had to cut out the part where he talks about his sister's cat and all the diseases and all the.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he goes to the Holocaust to just like literally, her cat's, his sister's cat's diabetes.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah,
those people
good.
Do are around.
Yeah. Did you try various reactions?
Oh, yeah. We went through it a gazillion. Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
It was so fun. I mean, it was very, when it starts to get like, oh, and then at a certain point, which they didn't use, which made me laugh, like we just kept repeating the word diarrhea. Because the end of that scene, because we are and probably so immature. But he just made me laugh. And this, because the straighter you play it, the more you're like, oh, God, I could just, we just wanted to. It was one of those scenes where the crew is just giggling because the build is so perfectly written into the scene. I mean, Shalom wrote such a beautiful scene.
Yeah, amazing. And it's all set against our heroine's need to get her life back.
Yeah,
to herself.
Right. Her need to for meaning. Yes, exactly. And finally gets this barn. That freak out that she has, which is kind of like a theme through the season too, which I love. That she just has these moments, which I think a lot of us do, which is just like, take it out. You know, like I love that image of that woman just like freaking out in the car. And then there's an episode coming up in which she does the same thing and hears something and looks over and sees another woman in a car doing the exact same thing.
That frustration. You do that frustration amazingly well.
Honey, I like to work it out on camera. That's
yeah.
my thing.
Yeah. Does that occur in real life, too? Are you able to do that? I mean, because that'd be very.
I wish. But you know what I feel? And I'm sure so many actors that you talk to would say the same thing. Like, I feel so much more fearless in my work than in my real life. I mean, for sure, there must be something, of course, in it that's, you know, and I'm a pretty, you know, not, I wouldn't say fearful, but I'm like a cautious human. I'm definitely more optimistic than Lee Payne, for sure. But I there is a freedom in the work, like this, the jumping. You know, I've got two kids. I have a hubby. I've got like the sweetest house. Like, I love my life. Love my family, and there is, like, I think it's like this, like, awesome little, like, rebellion valve that you can have when you're working. That's kind of feels good.
Do you get to work with animated characters? I've only seen the first five, I guess, so far. Because, like, Steve Coogan gets to actually sleep with a Keebler elf in the
because
he's an advertising executive.
Yes. I have like a relationship with Dora the Explorer. and that is appealing. And I'm trying to think if there's anything else that happens in the season.
But
there's a lot. I mean, we are able. I couldn't believe it when we first jumped into it too, that they could use the actual names of these, like, products and, you know, characters and all. They just walks a fine.
Yeah,
fine,
what they did with the Keebler elves, most of it was obscene, and there was a mass murder among the elves. How do they get permission from Keebler for that?
There is, and I'm going to say it wrong because I shouldn't be the, but there is apparently a difference between parody and satire. There's some sort of a legal loophole that they're able to like slip in.
Yeah. I love that the when he's doing, because he's a disaffected ad executive, account executive. Very disaffected. This thing that, with the Nestle water thing, that he hears about while he's on his commuter train has just killed a passenger on the tracks before pulling into the station. So he's stuck there in the train. So there's all that going on. And he's listening to this pitch from the Nestle's water people about how they are the answer, the answer to pollution is Nestle's water in a bottle.
That's right, because it's the clean water.
Yeah.
That was their pitch, yeah.
And that's the pitch. And he's going crazy with all this type of thing going on in advertising. You know?
Yes.
So it's so cool.
It's a comedy.
Yeah. And what's cool about them as a couple is, at least the way it's set up, is he does the Catholic take on all this angst and anxiety and anger or whatever it is, and disaffection, and she does the Jewish take on it. And they work very well in tandem, I think, the two
things. Well, it's kind of like the same, you know, really, it comes from the same, you know, pool, I feel like. But that's the thing that was really imperative to us. And what was so beautiful about the script, and these two people are you know, like, so much for whatever they're searching for and not getting or dissatisfied with. Like, the one true joy is their family. Like, that's like it was really important for us to show, like, a marriage that are it's a partnership. Like, they're really they. If they could just, like, chip off, like, a chunk of the ice of the glacier and just, like, kind of just, like, float off into the ocean, just the three of them, they would be so – that's all they would want in the world. They just want to protect that little family. And, you know, that was really important to us, to show that the love between them was not going to be the source of any sort of drama. You know, usually you see it, somebody in these shows, like, you know, the like, itch, the, like, you know, not satisfied with the mayor, like that. And it was important for us to say, like, that was not the source of it.
Right.
It was their marriage.
And she's such a great character. I mean, the way she tells off the mother of the child that was bullying her child at school, and then.
I know.
Who
was
everybody's
great scene.
Favorite. That was amazing.
Yeah. There was a great scene in the pilot, in the original pilot, like a flashback, which was not, the one that we shot. But there's a flashback of them with their very young child. They have a son named Julius, and when he was a newborn, they were taking a. There's a great scene of us on a plane. It, when introducing the character of Lee, it was like a flashback to us on a plane, and I'm trying to, like, nurse him on this plane, and he's screaming, and it's crowded, and it's like. The woman in front, you know, keeps turning around and, like, giving evil eyes. And then she just lets this woman have it in the best way. in a way that I just remember as a mom of two and being on planes and that horrible feeling. Oh, I wish I could have done that as a mom myself.
Yeah, yeah.
But that definitely was like when I read that, I thought, oh, I want to play this person.
Yeah.
I just love it.
Superb.
I love it. Because it's just like it's just everybody's doing the best they can. It's like, the, you know, and everybody also tries to justify their decisions by judging everybody, especially when you're a new parent. That's what I feel. I love that you just call people out on it. It's just awesome. Awesome.
Well, once again, it is called Happy-ish. I got that right this time. It's on Showtime. It's a great show. You should really be watching this. And what's Steve Coogan like to work with? Pretty cool guy, I bet.
Oh, he's the worst.
Yeah, he's the worst.
It's been a nightmare.
No, he's pretty bad at that.
I get it. Yeah, I'm post-traumatic. No, he's...
he's so smart, though. Yes. Isn't that a drag? Someone, and he's so educated or something.
He's so smart.
Yeah.
No, I mean, there's sometimes... he's the best. He's as silly as they come. I really love him. But at the beginning, it was... it was very, you know, he's such a comedy scientist, and he's so, like, his joke, you know, he's so clean, and his voice is so beautiful, and he dresses so well, and he's, like, he's so, such a gentleman, and I would just be, like, this rat-haired little cousin, like, sitting next to him, just, like, just a mess, and I always felt like, I was, like, oh, I gotta get it together, I can barely find a noun.
He's
awesome.
It works, though. It's a working couple. Thank you, Catherine.
Yeah, I know.
Thank you, Catherine, so much for parking and talking with us.
Thank you, guys. Have a good rest of your day.
Real pleasure. Catherine Hahn, ladies and gentlemen, parked somewhere in Los Angeles. Oh, God. Happy-ish. Showtime. You got to see her.